Omaha, Chicago, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Oh, yes, indeed. Back on the winning track. No third straight loss. 2-2 on the season, Mr. David. The Bears are back.
Morning, Mole. Yeah, happy Monday. Bears did what they needed to do. I think they won that game because they could not lose it. And it created, I think, as much of a sense of relief around Chicago more than a feeling of like rejoicing. It wasn't that impressive. But imagine the alternative. It sure beats the alternative. The Bears could not drop to 1-3 and still expect to be taken seriously as this playoff caliber team we've been referring to them as. What happened yesterday was that they kind of allowed things to get back on track.
Mm-hmm.
2-2 after four games isn't where you want to be necessarily, especially how ugly the loss was in Indy, but it does give you some hope that with the schedule, you're heading in the right direction again.
Yeah, they play some bad teams this year. Okay. I mean, we're still learning who these teams are. We got a pretty good feeling there are two unbeaten teams through the fourth game. We'll find out if a third can join that group tonight. I believe Seattle is 3-0 at this point, but we know the Chiefs are an unbeaten team. And I don't know. Did you pick the Vikings to be the unbeaten team?
I did not.
That's extraordinary to me.
It is. They go into Green Bay, and even though Jordan Love was compromised and injured, and they took advantage of that because he was really bad early. What the Vikings have done is somewhat short of remarkable because they did it with this new quarterback in Sam Darnold, who has become the first quarterback in the modern era to go to a new team, win his first four starts, and in each of those starts throw two or more touchdown passes.
Yeah.
That's, in this age of free agency, that's saying something. So Sam Darnold, good for him. The Vikings have weapons.
Yeah.
I did not see them starting undefeated, which is why the Bears needed to win yesterday.
I think it's one of the reasons they definitely needed to win. And, you know, they've got Carolina coming in here with the Red Rifle. They need to win that game. And then they go to London to play Jacksonville, and they need to win that game.
Both are opponents that should not be taken lightly, but they need to take care of because they don't look at the schedule as something that's getting any easier after this. When they come back from the bye week, then they can start to evaluate where they are, and they should be better. The expectations will be even higher. But you've got to win the next two games, and you've got to go into the bye week 4-2. And if you can do that, and a lot of the angst last week might seem silly in retrospect, but you know what? It was appropriate at the time, and I will always believe that. And I'm not saying that it's either one entity. It's not the media. It's not the fan base. It's not the players in the locker room. Combination of everything created pressure for Shane Waldron to adjust his game plan. I really believe that what we saw yesterday was in direct response to the reaction to the Colts debacle.
Well, and thank God. Thank God they're reacting to it, right? I mean, you could not react. I think one of the best things was that DeAndre Swift, who was getting beaten up quite a bit, even on this show. I know you were laying off him, but I had no problem going after him a little bit.
Right.
This guy signed a 3-year, $24 million deal, and you were wondering why. And finally yesterday, I think you saw a pass that led to a field goal that gave them a 10-6 lead that you felt good about, and then you finally saw him break a run, make a play, and score a touchdown, and it felt like a breakout game for him.
It did.
He led them in both receiving yards and in rushing yards.
And it was the first time since 2015 a Bears running back had 70 or more rushing yards and pass and receiving yards in the same game. Mm-hmm. Do you know who the last one was? How about Jeremy Langford for $500, Alex?
Wow.
That is a long time ago.
Yeah, I would never have guessed that,
though. 2015, 9 years. So what he did yesterday, though, it was be the player that you thought you were getting in free agency. He wasn't the guy that was running 3 yards and not being able to cut and losing 12 on fourth and goal. I think that he had to be as relieved as everybody watching him.
Mm-hmm.
He had to be wondering, where are these holes that they thought that they were going to be? and the offensive line without Tevin Jenkins did what it needed to do against a Ram defense that, let's face it, that the opponent contributed to the Bears' success, modest success offensively, because this was not a very good defense and it was not healthy either. Combination gave the Bears some opportunities they took advantage of.
Yeah, beaten up team comes in after an upset victory. We were told that the fine folks in Vegas say when you come back from two touchdowns down and then you go on the road, you're like 40% likely to win. And certainly that was the case. I guess the Bears are down 13, but it felt like two touchdowns. They came back and won the opener, and then they went on the road and lost. That happens. So it didn't stun me that that the Rams, and we know what the record is in the Central Time Zone. We also know that it was 10 o'clock in the morning on their body clock when that game kicked off, and they played like it.
They did play like it. I thought Matthew Stafford wasn't as sharp as he typically is. Mm-hmm. He did throw a couple picks. One of them counted, and one of them was caught. Got costly. Jaquan Brisker, the one he went out of bounds and came in was a nice athletic play. I think obviously the clincher was more timely and needed, but the Bear defense did what it needed to do. And against a pedestrian receiving core that at times Stafford made look pretty good. Whittington, Atwell, those weren't names that you thought were going to ruin your Sunday, but they nearly did. The Bears defense comes up with a big turnover. They tackled well, I thought, even though you know, Kyron Williams is a very good running back, very shifty.
Yep.
But they were getting yards way too easily on the ground. I think they finished with 119. But overall, the Bear defense did what it needed to do. The offense protected the football, which was priority one. And let's give credit where it's due. Yesterday was as dominant of a performance, I think, from a punter as you're going to see.
Thank you. I wanted to talk about that. I'm sure that'll be a question moving forward in the week, but I thought he was excellent.
He was outstanding.
Yeah, and maybe his best punt was the last one where he pins the ball at the 8-yard line on a short punt, 35-yard punt, whatever it was. He had been averaging 60 yards a punt up to that point, and he still nails like a perfect punt, exactly what you needed when you needed it.
In a one-possession game, a punter like Torrey Taylor can become a weapon because of the field position battle. You have to win. I was glad to see him get some praise post-game from players in the locker room because they recognize how much different it is to play defense when your opponent is pinned inside the 10 or the 20 than it is maybe midfield or further down the field defensively. Torrey Taylor, I don't know how he does it, and they don't really. It's almost like when Matt Eberflus speaks about him, it's like he's on his own little program. Like, I see that every day. He's a guy that is just kind of, it's almost like practices by himself or does. He's kickers and punters are kind of removed from the team, but I don't know that there was any defensive player that was any more impactful than Torrey Taylor yesterday.
I see it every day. I see it every week. He's got a couple different sand wedges, I think. So he's pretty good.
Flusie was trying out some new material post-game.
Yeah, Flusie was feeling good.
He was workshopping the crowd.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That and the bag of chips and water off a duck's back.
You win a couple games and you're all that in a bag of chips, and then you lose a couple and you're the other thing. So it's water off a duck's back.
All right.
What is the other thing exactly? I suspect I know.
I don't know.
I'd like him to articulate.
But I think that maybe if he's taking, this is just unsolicited, unrelated football advice, non-football advice. If he's getting help from a stylist, he might want to enlist some maybe comedic writers for him. Work on some stuff.
Wow.
That is who he is,
that would be rough.
I like Corny Flus, but I don't think everybody really always goes for Corny Flus. They don't always maybe laugh at the jokes. Maybe that was supposed to be jokes, but they were funny. He was in a good mood. He should have been.
Yeah, I don't know if he should have been in that good a mood, given his team was kind of committing penalties all over the place. I mean, I got to say that the one guy that was most damaged by penalties, though, was Jared Verse. That guy might have been the defensive player of the week.
He was a problem.
If his sacks would have come.
He was a problem.
If there wasn't so much defensive holding by the Rams, holy cow.
The Bears could not block him. No. Certainly not with Braxton Jones. No. I think they tried doubling him at one point. He was just a force, and he's fierce from Florida State. That kid can play. And you give credit to the Bears for being able to figure out a way to neutralize that a little bit. But you're right. The pre-snap penalties make you just drive you crazy.
Oh, boy.
And they're drive stoppers. They had right. five of them.
Yeah.
Cole Kmet had two.
Yeah, that's hard to believe.
I mean, that's partially on the quarterback, though. I think Caleb Williams did a lot of nice things. I'm sure you're going to break him down. We'll talk a lot about Caleb Williams and where he is, but we have a young rookie quarterback and five pre-snap penalties. You have to kind of look at one being at least part of the cause for the other.
Caleb Williams led four scoring drives, mm-hmm. right? And he threw his first touchdown to DJ Moore and threw his first touchdown at home, and it was to DJ Moore. So it was nice to see them connect. Are they connecting? I can't wait to talk to DJ Moore at 8 o'clock. It'll be fun to get his take on everything that went down and the difficulties that the Bears sort of faced early in that game. It was frustrating, and then they got their act together, and they did pretty well by the game's end.
Well, you asked that because there were some things, again, we're trying to interpret body language or read expressions from DJ sure. Moore and sideline behavior and walking into the locker room at halftime a little delayed. And so it'll be good to talk to him because yes. the chemistry between the two of them is an important part of this football team.
I also think the question of usage is one worth having a conversation with DJ Moore.
Because of not being targeted enough?
I believe, and I'll have to search this out, I believe he's 70, came into the game 72nd among 91 receivers for the depth of throws that he's getting.
He's Mr. Horizontal passing game.
This is what I want to talk to him about.
And
so I'm going to find that statistic and
he had six targets, three catches for 22 yards. That's not making use of a guy that you paid to be your number one wide receiver.
Gave him the richest contract in free agent history for the Bears. I would love to see him go down the field and see them connect down the field.
It's a fair question, and I'm curious as well. I do think that coming out of yesterday, after a week of preaching to Shane Waldron to run the football and to be conservative and to Caleb Williams to protect it, that the number of targets for DJ Moore, to complain about that, I'm not saying you're complaining, but that's on a list, but it's not necessarily at the top of it.
He got more targets than the other wide receivers. That is how pathetic some of that stuff was yesterday.
Yesterday was not a wide receiver game.
No, but I would say that he's a really good wide receiver. And I would like to see him get more than a bubble screen.
No doubt about it.
Or a quick out or whatever they're throwing to him.
They're not doing a lot to get him involved down the field. I think they may fear the protection to give him that. Maybe things are being called and he's running routes. Maybe he's even open. I don't know if Caleb Williams might not be seeing him or having time to get rid of the football. Because still, pocket protection was a problem, even though the offensive line was improved. What we did see, though, was the Bears' ability to run the football. It improved so much from the previous 3 weeks.
847 texter, DJ, the most miserable dude on the field.
Well,
he took a couple of huge shots. He took a shot early in that game, and I was worried for him because it was like,
yeah,
he really took a big hit.
It looked like he laid down there.
He went up for the ball. Oh, he looked
for a
like
while. Looked like he was on his in kind of the spread out on the field. Didn't get up right away. Yep. Then he beat a linebacker 1-on-1 for his touchdown, which was cool. And you know, I think he joined some rare company. I'm not even sure if it distinguishes him from everyone else, but it was the third touchdown pass from a number one overall pick in his career.
Hmm.
Cam Newton, Baker Mayfield, Caleb Williams.
Wow.
And I don't know if there's another wide receiver that has caught three touchdown passes from a number one overall pick.
That's incredible.
You'd think he'd be happier.
Well, I mean, you think number one overall picks would stay on the same team, not move around.
That's the thing, too.
But
how about Baker Mayfield yesterday?
Baker Mayfield.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice showing by Baker in front of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, we need to touch on that real quick.
Sure.
You want to?
About Tom Brady coming to the Bears?
Yes, it made headlines.
Yeah, well.
Made a headline. It was a throwaway line in an explanation about why he picked Tampa. But here's what he had to say about the Bears.
So I brought these. I saw them at the house, and I said, you know, I'm bringing these to show KB. And there was a lot of reasons to choose Tampa, and I made about 18 criteria why. And there was things all the way from the salary, obviously, to the weather, to the facilities, to the how great the players were. And ultimately, Chicago was a team, and I've never told that story before. They were very stealth in their recruitment. I was seriously considering them. But in the end, it came down to Tampa, and it was close to my son, Jack.
Yes, yes.
I love Bruce Arians and the role that he played in offense, and ultimately the great players like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin that I'm still out there watching today.
Could have had Bruce in there.
Could have Bruce Arians too, but that was a long time ago. Well, that was several cycles ago.
Yeah, they hired, what was the guy's name? Never mind.
That would be Mark Trestman.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, he made such a strong, forceful impression at the interview. But Tom Brady, before he joined and came out of retirement, or before he joined, not out of retirement, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2020. So that was his first season. It would have been the offseason of 2020. Pre-pandemic, I assume, or right in the midst of, that he was deciding whether or not to join the Bears. And the Bears went a different direction. That was after Mitch Trubisky's disappointing 2019 season, I believe. They were stealth in their pursuit.
I think we heard about that a little bit. It was not completely unknown.
Was it reported at the time?
I think at the time it was kind of on the table, but I don't know that it was.
It's funny he would just throw that out.
It's funny that he would mention it because it's the kind of thing. It's, you know, when people mention stuff like that, you just kind of,
Although I'm very impressed, and I liked it, the proper use of criteria.
Mm-hmm.
It is the plural.
Yeah.
So that was good. Not everybody gets that down. Tom in the broadcast booth is getting some good training.
Michigan man.
Yeah. Michigan man. 18 criteria. Yeah. That's a lot of lists. Those are a lot of lists. Anyway, we digress.
Yeah,
Tom Brady.
It's fun. It's fun to hear stuff like that. But again, as I recall, it did not happen. No Tom Brady, no Super Bowl. Didn't happen.
I don't think they were headed to the Super Bowl.
No.
The quarterbacks yesterday were definitely impactful. I thought Matthew Stafford was going to pull it out in the fourth quarter because they had set it up like how many comebacks he had and made, and it was there. And even though he was pinned down because of Torrey Taylor, as we mentioned, Jaquan Brisker made the play. Defense came through. Stafford did not add that one to the list because I thought that it was possible, but not against that defense.
I thought they opened really well. I'm talking about the Rams. I thought that McVay opened the game very well. You know, the Bears scored a field goal in one game. They were scoreless in the first quarter, but they've scored 3 points in four games in the first quarter. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I believe you tend to script 15 plays to open the game. They got to work on that script, man. I mean, you got to be kidding me. 3 points out of four games in the first quarter, no gouda.
Yeah, they're slow starters for whatever reason. They're too tentative early on. They still don't really take a lot of shots down the field. But when they do, I've been surprised, and this is something we'll get into more down the road, but Caleb Williams' accuracy on those touch passes and long passes has been missing. And I think that he, while protecting the football better and running the operation smoother, I feel like the next step is to see him complete some of those long passes that we kind of assumed he was going to be good at. And so far, I think that that's the missing part of his passing game.
I felt he was better yesterday. I feel like he's getting better. And I feel like that's four games in. When you're eight games in, he's going to be even better. I mean, maybe I'm looking for things that aren't there, but I thought that some of his decision making was pretty good.
Pretty good. Very good at the checkdowns and settling for things and not forcing the issue.
Yes.
That is definitely
protecting the football. He's 2-0 at home. He has no interceptions at home.
And that is a product of emphasis. So you see that they're going into these games making sure that they're calling plays and he's conscious of it, and that's why he's not throwing a lot of vertical stretch passes, and the ones that he did, the guys are open and he's missing them. I agree with you. Between the beginning of season and four games in, we've seen some growth in that regard.
Right.
From 4 to 8, you're going to see some more. We're going to see some more progress, I think, and he's going to continue to improve. It's just that sometimes, at some point, you remember just how enormous the expectations were coming in. And so when he misses as badly and he overthrows and he doesn't hit the touch pass to Roma Dunze, who is open, and other guys, other situations, it's a little disappointing. But I think that you take what you can get. You remember he's a rookie, and he is headed in the right direction. And that's that was a positive sign yesterday.
Yeah, there were a lot of positives yesterday. Number one, they won the game, right? That's really the bottom line. They got the running game going. That was important to do. It was important to the team, to the season, to just show some understanding and some growth in terms of what they were trying to get done. They were very balanced when you look at the number of attempts. They had 23 with three sets. That's 26 pass attempts to 28 rushing attempts. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
There was definitely that obvious that it was a point of emphasis.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the other element of it, Olin said something on the pregame, which I thought was good. Maybe we'll ask him about it. But he was saying, of all the passes that were attempted in that game last week, the game at the Colts where they ran 56 pass plays, he wondered, and he didn't know the answer, but he wondered how many of those were supposed to be run pass options and how many times. Like, his thinking is that
Caleb Williams was checking him out.
A quarterback's going to throw if he has the option.
Yeah, no doubt.
Rather than run. And it felt like this time around they made sure they did some running plays.
I think they did that, and they also made sure of that by using the right personnel. The play that makes you smile the most, or maybe there's two of them. First and goal at the one. And then third and one. Yeah, Doug Kramer, the mini fridge play. Great nickname, Adam Amin. Great nickname. Doug Kramer comes in as a fullback. They've got three tight ends in the game.
Yes.
Not one, not two, but three.
And Kerry Blassingame was eligible, was up, could have played, and was inactive. And you're like, wow, they're not going with a fullback. Oh, well,
no,
we're going to use this
guy. Got a fullback and a half.
Yeah.
So
that was pretty
Doug Kramer, very creative. And that was one of those situations we said all week, you know what the Bears need to do? Find a play that they're going to run regardless of the personnel in the game for the opponent. Say that you need to stop this. Good luck trying. And they didn't. So that was good. I thought that was Shane Waldron's response to all of the noise that was created last week by his unwillingness to run the football.